We're going to continue looking in the book of Matthew, but we're just going to focus on three verses today. It's right at the end of Matthew chapter 11. But I guess by way of introduction, what we're going to think about today, do you ever feel tired? do you ever feel so weighed down with frustration that having motivation, even for the things that you enjoy, can feel hard to find? Yeah. Do you ever feel like you don't want to get out of bed in the morning? Do you ever go to bed so full of doubts and worries and questions and kind of pictures of panic that you're just hard to fall to sleep? Yeah. I do as well. And we can kind of say that out loud in front of each other. And maybe we need to do that this morning, not as in it's a cry for help, but an acknowledgement that this is sometimes how we feel. That life can just feel hard and we're tired and that it can feel like a struggle sometimes. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." These are the words of Jesus saying to the disciples, saying to the crowd, saying to us, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." All who are weary and burdened. That's me sometimes. That's audibly many of you. And perhaps some of you who thought, well, you don't want to say it out loud, but we know what that feels like. And I think it's important for us today and every day, but I think particularly, God, the Lord wants us to teach today, that Jesus sees who we are. He sees where we are. He knows what we feel. He knows what we are struggling with. He knows what we are weary with. He knows what we are burdened about. And in response to that, he says, "Come to me. Come to me." He shepherds us and invites us to come. He says, just come. Come here. Come near. Come. Come to me. Come near. And then he tells us what he will do. He tells us what he's going to do. He says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." So it's not Jesus saying, "Come to me and then what? Come to me and I will give you rest." He wants to give us the opposite of what many of us are feeling. He wants to give us rest. That sounds like a beautiful trade, doesn't it? We give Jesus our weariness and our burdens and our anxiety and our tiredness and our emotions and our baggage and our panic. And he gives us, he swaps it for a glorious rest. That's incredible, isn't it? He gives us rest. And we need to see here, it's not then that our burden disappears. Okay? Our burdens don't disappear. But that Jesus carries them. He takes them. Jesus takes your burdens and your fears and your anxiety and your worry and your panic. He carries them. He takes them. The guilt and the shame that we feel over things that we have done, it's that sorry in the teaspoon prayer, isn't it? He takes those. He takes that, not just the sin, but the emotion of it, the guilt and the shame of it. He takes it. He carries it. Jesus answers prayers and he finds answers to our prayers and he leads us through those times. It's a glorious, beautiful trade. "Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you," says Jesus. Don't worry. This is not about an egg yolk. No one's going to crack an egg on your head. It's not about eggs, but a different kind of yolk altogether. It's farming language. A yolk is what helps you to carry or pull heavy things. It would typically be a wooden beam that would go across the shoulders of two oxen so as they can plow a field. They would pull the plow strapped to this wooden beam across their shoulders. It would be their means of carrying that weight. It was how a heavy load was carried. And Jesus uses it here and he says, look, give me your burdens, give me your weariness, your tiredness, your panic, your anxiety, your guilt, your shame. Give me all of that. Give me your brokenness. Give me your fragile heart. Give me that and swap it for my yoke and learn from me. For I, says Jesus, I am gentle and humble in heart. Or in other translations, I am gentle and lowly. Jesus says he is gentle and he is lowly. And before we panic and think, well, what's the use of giving me my burdens if you're going to put a great big heavy wooden beam across my back? Well, in verse 30, he says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Have you ever played Monopoly? Yeah. Some of you don't like playing Monopoly. I'm not such a big fan of Monopoly either. And I guess the reason why many of us don't like playing Monopoly is, one, it can last forever. Monopoly turns into monotony. But also in Monopoly, you normally play with someone who wants to do real dodgy trades. You know, give me all your green set and I'll give you a blue one, you know. And you kind of think, that's not much of a deal, yeah. It's someone tricks you. They talk you into doing a swap that's actually all in their best interest and nothing for you. This is not a monopoly deal that Jesus is offering us. He's saying, give me your burdens and your weariness and I will give you rest. Give me what you are being weighed down by and put my yoke on you, and my yoke is easy. It's not in his interest, but it's all in ours. Jesus wants our yoke that is sometimes heavy and brutal, isn't it? A yoke carrying heavy burdens, carrying fear, carrying pain. And he wants to swap it for his yoke, which is easy and light. His yoke is not heavy and gnarly and rough. This is not swapping one set of challenges merely to replace them with another. But I do, though, think that we are meant to feel the presence of God. We are meant to feel that kind of enveloping presence in our lives. I think it's meant to be firm and noticeable, but not harsh or suffocating. It's a bit like putting helium in a balloon. A balloon without anything in it will sit heavy on the floor or the table or whatever it is. But if you put helium in it, that balloon will now be filled. And now, rather than being heavier, it now floats. It feels, it holds what's within it, but it's now lighter than it was before. The yoke of Jesus makes your life lighter, not heavier. He says, give me your burdens, your weariness, your pain, your sorrow, your fears that's weighing you down, and take my yoke upon you, which will kind of supernaturally make you lighter, because my yoke is easy. If you've ever asked me to pray for you, it's likely that you've heard me pray that you would know the firm but gentle presence of God in your life. An altogether different yoke to the one that most of us are used to carrying. We've got a yoke across our shoulders carrying our guilt, our shame, our fear, our panic, our worry, our tiredness, our weariness, our sorrows. And Jesus says, come to the cross, put that down and put my yoke on you, for my yoke is easy and light. Put my yoke on you, which is firm enough to feel, but not heavy enough to hurt. So what does it mean then for Jesus to be gentle and to be lowly? Well, first we need to know and to see that we have the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the books that tell us the earthly life of Jesus, the books in the Bible that feature his physical spoken words, the Gospels. They carry in between them, those four books, 89 chapters, lots and lots and lots of description of Jesus. And it's great to hear those prayers of thankfulness and acknowledgement to the character of Jesus. And those verses in those chapters, 89 chapters, feature lots of the words of Jesus. But yet of all of them, here and only here, does Jesus describe his own heart. The only description we have from Jesus of who he is and what his heart is found in these verses. And he says, and it says, he is gentle and lowly. And so what does that tell us? Jesus is telling us, look, this is who I am. This is what I want you to know about me. This is who I am above and before I am anything else. I am gentle and I am lowly. If you think that Jesus is strict and distant, like a stern headmaster hiding in his office, well, he says different. Jesus says he is approachable, compassionate, kind, loving, and much like his yoke. He is firm but not burdensome. He's felt but not painful, but rather gentle and loving, kind and gracious. Jesus wants us, me and you, he wants us when we are at our weakest. Now, he doesn't want us to be weak, so as we come to in our weakness, but he accepts us at our weakest, in the height and the depths of our struggle, in the depths of our fears and our anxiety, when we simply feel just worn out. He wants us in those moments to know that he is not austere, but that he is gentle. Jesus is gentle. And so if you're feeling, well, I can't come to God because of this and this and this, he's going, look, never mind that and that and that. I know all about that and that and that, and I am gentle. You can come to me. You can come to me. Sometimes we think that we need to be in a certain place in our life before we come to God. We go, let me sort this and this and this out, and then I might think about becoming a Christian. Then I might think about coming to God. Then I might think about service in the church. I've got to sort this and this and this out first. And Jesus says, look, forget that. I have come for you now. I have come for you when you're weary and when you're burdened. I have come for you now in your pain, in your struggle, in your tiredness, and I will meet you with gentleness. For I am gentle. It's who I am. Jesus says not only that this is his heart, as it were, you say, look, this is the central truth of who he is. I am gentle and lonely. It's what my heart is, and that's what comes out of my heart in the way that I behave, in the way that I think, in the way that I speak, and the way that I respond. For he is gentle and lowly with you and with all of us always. The phrase in the Bible, he had compassion on them, is a repeated phrase describing the actions of Jesus as he cared for the sick, fed the hungry, comforted the oppressed. He had compassion on them. He didn't stare at them and go, well, that's a jolly fine mess you got yourself into, isn't it? Or if you'd only thought about that, you wouldn't be there now. Don't come running to me when you broke your leg. He doesn't deal with us harshly. He doesn't deal with us harshly. For it's not in his nature. For his nature is gentle and lowly. And it's further than that, for it impacts the joy of Jesus to be gentle with us, okay? Jesus has more joy when he is able to be gentle and lowly to us, okay? There's a book by a guy called Dane Ortlund called Gentle and Lowly. Came out a couple of years ago. It was the most popular read Christian book of the year. And in that book, he describes it like this. And he says, imagine a compassionate doctor has traveled deep into the jungle to provide medical care to a tribe affected by a contagious disease. He's got all the equipment that he needs. And once he has identified the cause of the disease, he knows he's got the right medicine to help. And so he freely offers the medicine to the people of that tribe. He is quite financially secure, and so he has no need of repayment for the drugs that he offers them. He just wants to help them. He just has the medicine in his bag. But they decline the medicine, determined to try and heal themselves. Eventually, though, seeing they're not getting any better, a few brave souls in the tribe realize that they need help and they go and ask for medicine. What does the doctor feel? He feels joy, doesn't he? He feels joy. Because it's the reason why he went to the jungle. He wanted to help them, and now finally they are accepting his help, and so he feels joy. The joy that the doctor feels only increases with the more people that go and ask him for help. The joy of Jesus increases when we go and lay our burdens before him, because it's who he is. It's why he came. He is not offended by our burdens. He's not offended by our brokenness. He's not turned off by our sinfulness and our shame and our weakness. It's why he came. So his joy increases when we go and surrender that before him and say, "Look, Lord, will you help me?" It gives him joy. So how much more it is with Jesus? For with Jesus, we are not just a tribe, but we are his people. He loves us. He's always loved us. And he's heartbroken to watch us struggle. Especially when we can lay that struggle down in exchange for his compassion. Jesus is not squeamish to our pain. He does not blush at our brokenness. He does not recoil at the tales of woe that pour out of our hearts. It's because of those things that he came. And he says, "Come to me, all who are weary." Have you ever watched someone suffer and wish you could swap places? You often find to... there's a couple of little ones over there. You often find parents of little kids and they're full of germs and not being able to sleep. And often the parents will say, if I could swap places, I would. Because it's agonizing, isn't it, to watch them go through it. Have you ever watched someone suffer and wish you could swap? It's what Jesus has done. And he's done it because he is gentle and lowly. He's loving and gracious and kind and compassionate. Coming to Jesus to pour out the murky tales of your heart is what he wants you to do. He wants you to do it. He wants you to tell him the things that you're ashamed of. He wants you to tell him the things that you feel weighed down by. He wants you to tell him the things that are hurting you when you lie down to go to sleep at night. He wants you to tell him. He's not offended when you do that, but overjoyed. He's overjoyed because he understands us, and he understands us better than we think. Have you ever tried to help someone who just keeps saying, "But you wouldn't understand. You just wouldn't understand." I imagine it's in school. "But you wouldn't understand, sir. You just wouldn't get it." That normally comes from the fact that we think our problems are the worst that there has ever been. And then at the same time, we've also, all of us have done this, we do a great job of convincing everyone else that our life is as close to perfect as you can get. And so not only are my problems the worst that there are, but I couldn't possibly tell you because your life is as close to perfect as you can be. Yeah? And so we end up in this kind of polarized situation. And so it creates this attitude of my problems are terrible and your life is amazing, so therefore you couldn't possibly understand what I am going through. But Jesus says, "No, I understand you." He has sympathy with you. He has sympathy with all of us. Now, Jesus is, of course, perfect. He has never sinned. But he became man, born and placed in a manger. He became a man so as to live life with the eyes of humanity and to suffer pain as a man, to face temptation as a man. And therefore, we have a great high priest who is able to sympathize with our weakness. Hebrews 4, verse 15. He sympathizes because he understands. He knows what our weaknesses are. He knows what our temptations are. He knows what it's like to feel pain and to feel tired. He understands. And so he is able to sympathize. And he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus is not only gentle in nature and deed, but he does that as one who understands our weakness. And as the only one, as the only one who has come to earth for no other reason than to save us from it. He came because of our weakness. He came because of our burdens. I think we need to come to Jesus, don't you? When at the outside, when you ask a question of a crowd, you never quite know what response you're going to get. I'm a bit worried about this with an assembly tomorrow, but many of you went, do you feel tired? Yes. Do you feel anxious? But yes, 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 yes. Come to me, all are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. I think many of us need to come again to Jesus. Your burden is almost certainly heavy, and it will perhaps be different from the person sat next to you. But the invitation from Jesus is the same. Come. Come. Your burden, your pain, your weariness may be that you need a physical healing. It might be that your burden is that you just need to lay an emotional burden down. I've been worrying about this and stressing about this for ages, and I'm exhausted. And so you need to lay that down. It might be a sorrow. It might be a sorrow that you're just full of sorrow and hurt or frustration or a broken heart or a fear about something, that something just feels so terrifying. Remember that you're worried about something, a health thing, a money thing, a family thing. You're just worried about it. It might be that you have anxiety that's just so big, it cripples everything. You're just anxious all the time. And it's left you weary and exhausted and not wanting to go to bed at night, but you finally do, and you don't want to get up in the morning. And Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary, and I'll give you rest. It may be that you need to offer repentance of your sins, that the burden that you're carrying is that guilt and shame for the things that you have done that you know have been unresolved. And see, maybe you need to come and say, look, my burden is my shame. My burden is my guilt. Will you hear me as I offer that? Lord, I am sorry that I did whatever it is. And that your yoke that's easy and light is to swap that guilt and that shame and that regret for forgiveness and joy of grace. You know that the Lord is wanting and waiting to save you. In a moment or two, we're going to listen to a song. The song will play through the speakers and the words will be on the screen. It's a song about feeling worn out. The song about feeling worn out. And wanting redemption to win. Redemption is a fancy word that basically describes being bought back and restored. I want redemption to win, which means I want good to win. I want victory to win. I want to be bought back. I want life to be restored to the way that it was first meant to be, which is full of peace and love and joy and grace. And so for us this morning, if you are feeling worn and lost and weary, redemption does win. It does. It does win. And we are invited to come. We're invited to come. And so this morning, we're going to worship in a little while, but first we're going to listen to this song. And as we sit and listen to this song or look at the words or whatever you want to do, I'm going to invite you to literally come. And I'd love to pray for you. And if lots of people come, others are going to come and pray for you as well. But at first, if you know that this is, that the Lord is going, come. You just need to come. I'd love to pray for you. Don't miss the invitation. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. When I started and I said, do you feel like this? Do you feel like this? Many of you said yes, and perhaps some of you didn't, and because you don't, and praise the Lord for that, happy days. But it might be that you just that you just don't, you wouldn't respond like that, but you know how you feel. She says, come to me, you all are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Jesus is either a liar, or that is gloriously true. That is gloriously true. Now, I am not Jesus, but I'd love to pray for you that by the power of his spirit, that you would know and feel that rest. And sometimes the physical act is going, look, Lord, I want this so much that I'm going to get off my bottom. And I don't care who sees, I don't care what they think. And that physical act is, this is me laying it down. This is me laying it down. And I've come, and you've told me, and Steve has kept telling me, that you're going to give me rest. That's what I've come for. That's what I've come for.